Mark 10, 17 to 31. I will be reading from the NASB. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your mother and father." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack: go and sell all that you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus answered again, saying to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They were even more astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Looking at them, Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God." Peter began to say to him, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms along with persecutions, and the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Please bless us the hearing and the reading of God's word. That is such a great, great question. Who can be saved? Is that a question you've asked yourself lately? Whether it be about you or whether it be about those people around us that we may see in turmoil or in trouble or in need of something? Because it really is a valid question. And as I said, it is something that we need to ask ourselves every day. See, this particular young ruler story has been used often to illustrate our needs to release ourselves from those things that tie us to the earth, those things that separate us from God. It's also an outstanding example of how and what we can do to earn salvation, because everything we need to know literally can be pulled from this and a couple of other readings I have. And as with Scripture so much of the time, this learning is a whole lot deeper than you would originally read on the surface, because I've heard so many times it's against the rich and, you know, how it's almost better to be poor. And that's one of those yes and no comments. But our passages today is built on layers, like pulling away an onion to get down to what you need to eat, cook, do whatever you do with onions. First, we have the rich young ruler, and he wants to inherit eternal life. And then we have Christ telling him exactly what he needs to do. He gives him all the information he needs to fulfill the request. And then following that is a proclamation of how hard it is for people to let loose all those things that are holding them back from eternal life. And finally, we have a reality that what we may see as a sacrifice to the Lord is actually a blessing in disguise. But it's a blessing that only comes through coming to know and to love and to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. And to catch the whole meaning of these verses, we really have to examine the layers and build upon what we see and what we learn until we come to the point of understanding individually and corporately as a church and as a fellowship of Christians what God desires of us, what we need to know to please Him. And finally, to understand exactly how blessed we are because Jesus is our Savior. But everything hinges on two questions. In verse 17, it's the young man who asks, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit life?" And after we get through the drama of the encounter, the equally important question, then who can be saved? So let's start with good teacher. What shall I do to inherit life, eternal life? As I said, is that something we've asked ourselves in the course of our time together? Do we really think about eternal life? I know it's easy to say we want to go to heaven, but is it something we really have a firm grasp on? And the interesting thing in Scripture, this isn't the only time Jesus has been asked that question. In Matthew 19, 16 to 30, the question is a little different. It's, "Teachers, what good things shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?" And instead of a rich young ruler, it's asked by someone who came up to him. Very, very subtle. What good things can I do to get eternal life? We should all be doing good things. And his response, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself," is added to everything that Mark put in his. And then in Luke 10, 25 to 28, it's a lawyer who asks the same question. And the answer is the same as in Mark, with the addition of, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbors as yourself." So we have, you need to follow the law. And by law, I'm going to say the Ten Commandments, because we need to follow the Ten Commandments. They're special. But you need to add to that in both cases, you need to love the God with all your heart, everything that you have, every fiber of your being. And then you need to love your neighbors as yourself. And don't let the fact that it's asked by three different people in three different settings, because it really doesn't make a difference, and I'm willing to bet Jesus was asked that a lot because, A, he was such a good teacher. And he had the ability to reach down into your heart and make you ask yourself those questions for those that truly wanted to believe. But when we look at Jesus' answer, it really gets interesting because the first couple of times I've read it, it actually seemed kind of insulting to the young man. The first thing he asks is, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now, he's separating himself from the Father. There's no hint of his own divinity in here. He's saying, no one is good except for the Father, except for God alone. And we have to understand he is setting the young man up for what comes next. I believe the young man was completely honest in his life and in his answer to Jesus. It was given with respect when he called good teacher. And I believe what Jesus was saying that by being a good teacher, that had nothing to do with Jesus himself. Because what he was doing was simply telling the people who would listen what God desired of them. How to live their lives. How to be pure. How to be righteous. And in fact, the only good in the universe is God. It's the perfection Todd talked about this morning. Only one God. Triune nature, but there's only one God. He is perfect. That is what we should be working for. And he gives the young man, you know, verse 19, when he asked the young man this question, any Jew should have known the answer. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. You go down the Ten Commandments, those, except for honoring God above all else, those are the things you need to do every single day of your life. Or not do, as the case may be. And the answer that was given is, teacher, I've done all these things from my youth on up until right now. I have tried to live as righteous a life as possible. But you need to look at the response from Jesus in verse 21. And it's a physical response. Looking at him, Jesus felt love. Now, I am going to go out and say, when we do the right thing, when we follow God's teaching, when we do what Jesus has taught to do, we receive God's love. We receive Christ's love. He looks down for us, and I can see him smiling because you done good. But unfortunately, we also get caught up in life. And when we do, it's easy to forget that we do exactly what the young man has done. See, Jesus did feel the love for the effort and the faith in God that he displayed. And sometimes it's just as easy for us to overlook all the really good things that happen in our life because God loves us. We start to take it for granted. Even at those times when we're struggling with trials and tribulations, and we sometimes forget that if it wasn't for Jesus, the outcome may be a little bit different. And despite the fact that the young man has lived his life constantly striving to please the Lord, there's one thing more he must do, and here is the cracker. One thing you lack, go and sell all your possessions. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. And in that sentence, we find out exactly what God wants us to do. This is exactly what Jesus was saying. Don't get so attached to those things in your life that if they were gone tomorrow, it's going to ruin you. Instead, do those things that come in Scripture. And I love the part that they keep adding, love your neighbor. Because everything we have in today's world can be gone in a minute. Now, God forbid, but you could go home this afternoon and your house is in embers. Everything you own is gone. Not the end of the world. But it could happen. But when you follow Christ's teachings, when you live your life in the manner that he asks you, that goes up into heaven. That's where it is stored because Jesus knows what you are doing. Jesus sees what's in your heart. And here the young man had a whole bunch And he got wrapped around the beginning of what was said. All he heard was, give up everything you've worked so hard for all your life. He missed the part of storing up your treasures. And in Matthew 6:20, Christ tells us, but store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves cannot steal in. I cannot break in and steal. Again, you need to give up the stuff in life. Because I will guarantee you, in coming to follow Christ, you are going to have to give up something very dear to you. It may not seem it at the time, but it's going to happen. Now, I am going to caveat this because something I think we are programmed in is, because they're really good targets, is this is not about the rich versus the poor, as we'll talk about tonight in James, or we have talked about in our study of James. This is about what are you willing to give away for God. It's about what is it that we covet. And sometimes we don't covet money. We covet other things. Fame, fortune, popularity. That could be our rich man's treasures. And sometimes we have to give up stuff like that. It actually comes down to anything that puts God number two on the list. And you'll probably hear a sermon later on. That includes, as much as I hate to say it, family. Now, understand this. Family is one of God's primary gifts to us. You're going to be asked to do something and your family's going to look at you and say, why are you doing that? Why are you taking your kids to church? Why are you believing a fairy tale? Makes no sense. And you can explain it to them, and you need to explain to them, and you continue to pray for them. But it happens. So getting back to our scripture here, we have the situation that the young man has wandered away, and Jesus says, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? And I like the fact that the disciples were astonished by that. Because I think we would like to think it's really easy to get into heaven. And I'm going to say, actually, yeah, it is. If you work at it. But it caused them to ask that question, then who can be saved? Now remember, Jesus has just condemned the rich people all over the place. And he's pointed out, the young man missed the part where he said, you know, put the stuff in the heaven, but he said, you do that, come follow me. It was an invitation to eternal life from Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. It's not going to be easy. It would not have been easy for the old man, for the young man. Because face it, if what would happen if, for those that are married, if your husband came home and one of these days said, I quit my $75,000 a year job and I'm going into the ministry. Oh, and by the way, I have no idea how we're going to make ends meet before then, but God told me to do it, and I did it. Word of advice, let your wife know ahead of time. Trust me. But again, if have you ever done anything worthwhile that you did not have to work for and work very hard? I can't think of anything, because the things that have meant most to me in my lifetime worked hard. We're talking hours and hours, whether it's working on a sermon, whether it's studying, whether it was my time in the Corps. You put the hours in, you put the time in. Going to find our eternal life is exactly the same way. But then again, who can be saved? I could end this right now by saying, everybody and anybody. That is an incredibly true statement. And if we were to follow the Great Commission in Matthew, you're told to go out and spread the word and baptize and do all that good stuff. But not everybody that's going to hear it is going to believe it. And as I said before, not everybody's going to be saved as much as we'd want that. That's family, friends, neighbors, coworkers, everybody we come in contact has the opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether they do or they don't is another question. Living a good life is not enough. I know lots of people that are kind, caring, considerate, compassionate, will give you the shirt off their back. They don't know Jesus and they are doomed. I've known family members that are exactly that way, and they're just not going to make it. And yes, it troubles me. You see, nobody is going to inherit eternal life without faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You can do all the good things in the world. You can be the greatest man or woman around. Everybody can love you. And when you pass, 500,000 people can show up and testify how great you are. But without Jesus Christ, you ain't getting into heaven. And unfortunately, today there are people who claim to be Christians that are preaching exactly that. And unfortunately, they know better, and they're wrong. John 3, 14 to 16 tells us who can be saved. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but shall have eternal life. And for anybody that puts any roadblocks or starts to say, yeah, but this person, you believe in Jesus Christ, not by your lips, but with your heart, your soul, and your mind, you are saved. Doesn't matter what you've done in the past. May not matter in some of the things you may do going forward, because we ain't perfect. But this is crystal clear. Without Christ, it ain't going to happen. You have to accept and believe Jesus Christ. We must make the changes in our lives. Change is never easy. We must leave our old selves behind as we begin a new life dedicated to him. And that happens each and every day we open our little eyes. Change is really hard because we fall into the same trap that the young man did. But what in the world do you mean you want me to go to Santa Fe, New Mexico, and start a missionary church? I don't know where Santa Fe is, let alone I have no idea what's there. Get up and go. Oh, and by the way, the only way it's going to finance is if you sell everything you have, you sell your home, and you wander off. exchange. You have to learn to love one another. And one another, not just the people that you like. That is a requirement. We have to surround ourselves with good Christian men and women because we learn from each other. We are a support system. We are the ones that, when it goes right, we can count on in a hardship. We can bear the deepest problems in our soul. Now, that's an ideal situation, but I've seen it happen. But we can't do it by ourselves. And that's what Jesus is telling the disciples in verse 27. With people it's impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Yes, I paraphrase that, but it's the movement of the Holy Spirit that guides us and leads us on the quest that following Christ will take us. It allows us that as we work on it, we can change the negative things in our lives and become positive. Sell all you possess and give to the poor. The young man just couldn't do it. But look what he missed because he tuned everything out after give everything away. Come follow me. For those of you that have been baptized, you understand what an absolutely wonderful invitation that is. God is saying, I love you. You can do this. Come with me on a journey that will change you so much if you let it. And he missed that. And so we're come back to complete circle. What do you do to inherit eternal life? Jesus gave the question, as I keep saying over and over again. But that search for the eternal life, doing the things God wants us, includes one thing I don't think that when this is preached, is brought up a lot. Our physical service to Jesus Christ, to his church, to the people, and to the world. Belief is a really, really wonderful thing. Faith is a really, really wonderful thing. Without action, our prayers are worthless. We pray for something, we actually have to believe that God is going to ask in our best interest. If we pray on behalf of something else or for something else, we have to believe God is going to make it happen, whether it's a miracle or it's just, get them through the day, they're having a bad day. Faith is an active verb. Without actions, without living it, you can pray all you want. That guy across that was down the street with the broken car. Well, let's pray that he figures out how to get his car fixed. How about if you go down and ask him what he needs? Why are you in tears? What can I do to help? Throughout the scriptures, so many times, Jesus, the apostles, Paul, all come back and say what we need to do beyond serving Christ. The Old Testament and the New Testament are full of examples of what we need to do to follow Christ, to be saved. And it is an action. When Jesus is teaching in Matthew 25 about the judgment that is yet to come, he lists specific things, and it's the goat and the sheep story. And rather than reading the whole thing, I'm just going to read a part of it. And that's about what those people did when Jesus said, "Welcome home, boys and girls." The entire reading is Matthew 25, 31 to 36, and I did not put it in your notes. I'll be reading from 34 to 40. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you were hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer them and say, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me.' And for God, those brothers of mine are every single human being on this planet. I don't care if they're gay, they're trans, they're haters. I don't care if they're racist, they're lazy, or they're fools. God said, 'You help them. You care about them. You go out of the way. You share what I have given you with them.'" Feed the hungry physically. I have asked you this morning to consider doing things for two holidays coming up. And I'll tell you what, this administration is trying as hard as they can to make things as expensive as they can. You're going to have to sacrifice if you want to help somebody else eat or take the word out. Physically give something up for yourself so somebody else may not go hungry during a holiday. But share yourself spiritually. Every single one of you has a life that God has blessed. Share it with people. And it doesn't have to be on the street corner going out. People you know who are in stress and in turmoil. Talk to them. Let them know they're not alone. Be there for them. Share your love of Christ and everything he has done for you. And if you don't have that, go home and sit down and write out what God has done for you. It's a truly humbling experience because we overlook so much. For those who are thirsty, physically provide them with water. And we live in that part of the world that we really could use water. Provide the knowledge of the water of life that comes only through Jesus Christ. You don't have to preach to anybody. You can sit down. You notice somebody, a friend, a neighbor that is having a problem. Are you all right? Can I help you? Invite them to church. They might say no the first 100 times, but they might say yes. And amazing things will happen because it's in God's hands and God can do anything. Love every stranger you meet. Show compassion to those in need. I have slipped once or twice and said, the lazy little bugger needs to get a job, but I don't know what's going on in that person's life. I'm judging him all over the place, and I don't have that right. Because I do know people that have struggled and couldn't get a job and couldn't hold a job, not because they were lazy. In one case, it was because the kid was dyslexic. He wanted to work. He wanted to provide. He just couldn't read the stuff that was required of him. Then what happens in that place? I just lost everything I own. How can I help you? What can I do for you? I've just lost my father or my mother or my sister or my brother. Have you gone to visit? And I will tell you, you don't ever have to say anything. Because I learned real quick, one of the most trite things you say, I understand how you're feeling. No, you don't. You don't have a clue what that person is going through. But I have had occasion when I was with a police officer delivering a death notice. Usual turmoil, and it's traumatic. The only thing I could do is stand there. And I put my hand on his shoulder. Couldn't say anything. So I didn't know what to say. And I was a pastor at the time. But later on, when we were talking about it, he came back and said, "Thank you. You were there when my neighbors wouldn't come by. You were there. You cared about me. You weren't there to find out why the police car was in front of my house." You see, being nice to people you don't know or your neighbors is the truest expression of what God wants us to do. Care. Love. Visit the sick. It doesn't have to be a full-time thing. Somebody in the congregation, one of your neighbors gets sick, go visit them. And even say, okay, that's okay. But you know what? It'll stick in their mind. You were there. You were the ones that took the time out of your life to go see how I was doing. Pay attention to those who are physically ill, mentally ill, spiritually ill. And I go back, invite people to church. God does his really good work in here as well as he does out there. Visit in prison. That's a little bit harder, especially with the rules nowadays, but you know what? Did you know there are pen ministries? Pen ministries where you can write letters to inmates. And I know the women's prison here in New Mexico has that program, and they really need, because it is uplifting. There's some, you got to be a little careful with that, but it can be very, very uplifting and give hope to somebody. Share the word. Even if it's only God loves you, no matter what they say, that's what you do. God loves you, because we all know, or we should have seen things in our own life that proved God loves us. See, brothers and sisters, this is how we, I shouldn't say the word earn, but this is how we store up the treasures in heaven that Jesus is talking about. Live your heart. Love your neighbors. Help where you can. And in a shameless plug, we still need volunteers for so many things here in the church, and whether you can give us an hour or whether you could give us 4 or 5 hours, we can use you. Share God's love with one another and with everybody you meet. Who can be saved? Each and every one of us. And praise be to God for that. Amen.